could have gotten last night. But I woke up. It didn't happen. So I was joking earlier. I was saying I'm going to do my best not to nod off when the preacher gets up there to deliver the word because I'm tired. But good morning anyway. I'm going to explain to you why I'm tired. Some of you are aware of this, but, Friday night, I went in my kids' room. They were asleep. They don't even know this. I didn't even tell my wife. And I went in the room, and I kind of thought about how Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, you know, how he's praying, and he's sweating these drops of blood, and he's in agony, and he's saying, take this from me, but if not, your will be done, not mine, right? And I was in my kids' room, and I was thinking, you know what? I'm about to do something crazy tomorrow, something that I'm probably going to agonize over for a long time, but not my will, but the kids' will. And the kids won out. So we went on Saturday, yesterday morning, we drove out to Pennsylvania, past Downington somewhere, and we get there, and we finally got a dog. So the long national nightmare of the Craigs is finally over. Kendall has gotten her way. She has gotten a dog. And everything is right in the Craig household for everybody but me. Because the dog whines. And my wife, she's become an expert on sleeping and pretending that she hears nothing. And so the dog is just, you know, and she's just, you know, mouth wide open, but then she peeks. I saw her. She was awake, but she figured he'll get up and do something about it. So anyway, we got this dog, and I kind of want to relate the sermon to this because this is about all I can remember anyway, is this dog. It's a beautiful dog, and I want to share this because it was something very interesting. Like Kendall, the reason why it's taken so long is she's very particular, and she wanted a special type of dog. And one of the things that had to be special, the dog had to be tiny enough and a puppy so she could hold it, right? And we asked her, well, what kind of dog? We're showing her pictures. My wife's going on all these kennel websites, and she's showing these pictures, and she's like, no, too big. No, not the right color. No, he looks mean. He doesn't smile enough. Something, right? And so finally we get there to pick up the dog, and the dog, literally, him and his friend, his name is Ricky. They named Ricky Ricardo. It was interesting. The kennel, whatever it was, they were breeding these dogs, and these dogs, they were all named after like actors from like the 60s and 70s and stuff. So there's Ricky Ricardo, and then this dog, his name is Gavin, right? One of my friends, my old roommate, he picked it up. Gavin is our dog. He's a chocolate lab, and Gavin, I guess it was Gavin McLeod with Love Boat or something. I don't know what this was, but point is, he runs right up to Kendall, and Kendall was like, yeah, that's him, because he immediately started licking her and chewing on her coat, right? Now, my wife, she was a little bit different because my wife was, she's very particular. She wanted to make sure the papers were in order, and she wanted to make sure that all the shot records and all these certifications, you know. And I thought about that as it relates to how we view God, how we view what's important about our faith. And I want to talk about this and this dog, and I want you all to pray for me, even after we leave here, for me and this dog. But the title of the sermon today is Kennel Club. Kennel Club. Because I want us to think about how important our character is, more so than just what it is that our lineage is, or just what it is that our understanding is, our affiliation is. But what does our faith say about us? And I'm going to start. This is a... For those of you who are curious, this is Gavin. I was told by one of my friends, he kind of looks like your child. Like, he kind of looks like you, right? And you should have seen the dad, right? They showed us the parents. So, you know, he's purebred and everything. And the dog, I guess he kind of looks like me, you know? And then this is Kendall. She's really excited. This is after she was convinced he was the one. And this is William. This is my helper. And this is him sleeping when he shouldn't have been sleeping. I wanted him to be awake at this point, but he wasn't, and then he woke up at night. And then I want to go into Luke chapter 17, and I want to read about something that may resonate with us when we think about our character. Because the character of this dog was what was so important to my daughter as she was picking him out. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, what's interesting about this passage, amongst many other things, is the distinction between when he cleansed them and they all went off and realized they were cleansed and they were no longer lepers. They no longer had this problem with their skin. They were healed, but he says here at the bottom, rise and go, your faith has made you well. See, he's not talking about his skin at this point. He's not talking about this disease. He's talking about your faith and how his faith not only made him well from the sense that he got rid of that skin disease, but it made him well because spiritually his faith produced something. His faith in Jesus produced something. It showed something. It revealed something. It revealed his character. See, this guy is the foreigner. This guy is not even considered to be on par. He's not even considered to be as good or as, you might say, worthy as the other 9. But his character, despite all the other things that were attached to him, his character showed. His gratitude showed. See, oftentimes we think of gratitude and it's like, well, yeah, I'm grateful, but are you faithful? Is your gratitude for being healed and made well, is it borne out in your faith? See, all of us who are conscious and aware of God, all of us who understand the nature of the Spirit, all of us who've been brought to Him, we understand that we've been healed of something. We've been forgiven of something, right? But what is that producing in you? Is it producing, well, I'm happy, I'm joyful, this is great, but is it producing faith? Is it actually showing in your faith? You know, in the Bible where it says, show me your faith, but what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do. See, this man comes back to Jesus. He said, yeah, I'll go show the priest. I'll make sure to do what you said, but first, I need you to know how grateful I am for what you did. And Jesus points out that this was not a response just out of gratitude, because I'm sure the other 9 were grateful too. But this is a response shown out of faith. I was talking about the dog, and I'm sure some of you were wondering, well, where is this going? Well, see, the thing is, like I said, my wife, she's like, hey, I want to know if the papers are right. I want to make sure the shots are right. I want to do the research on this kennel. I want to make sure that everything, because people who understand animals and breeding and different things like that, you understand how important it is that they give you the guarantee. You know, she gave us a little paper that said, well, we guarantee that there'll be no diseases in 6 months and all this kind of stuff. See, that's what we were concerned about. And yet, Kendall said, I need to know that this dog loves me. I want to make sure that this is the right dog, right? And I'm thinking, well, how do you know that? And as soon as she gets out the car, the dog runs up to her, licks her, chews on her. Like, oftentimes Jesus, we read about him And we understand it conceptually, but sometimes our faith doesn't reflect what it is that God is doing in our life. You know, I think about it even from the standpoint of like how we invest and we want to do as much as we can to make sure that our children get the best education possible. And we put a lot of time and energy in making sure that they go to a good school. Sometimes it's a private school. You know, we'll get them tutors and stuff. We put them in things like this, ballet. You know, my kids do ballet and karate and piano. Miss Linda's helping William to be more refined, all that good stuff, right? You know, we do all this stuff to make sure that our kids have all these opportunities. You know, let's be honest, when we're looking for a church, when we're trying to find a place to worship, oftentimes we want to make sure the preaching is right and the teaching is right, and we want to make sure the fellowship is good. We want to make sure there's people there that care. We want to make sure that the doctrine is right. And in many cases, we've been fortunate. Some of us have been very fortunate to be in such a place where you have a wonderful preacher, right? Not everybody, huh? Okay. But here's the thing. We spend a lot of time making sure that all of the paperwork is right, that all the materials are right, that every box is checked. But then what do we do with that? You go through a challenge. You go through a struggle. God brings you through. But what do you do with that? How does your faith, being shown just how much God loves us and how much he takes care of us and how much he does for us, and being given all the proper resources, what then does your faith show? We spend a lot of time making sure that we take in the right things. I've kind of fallen off the organic wagon because it's just so expensive. But the thing is, we care what our children eat. We care what we put into our bodies. We do all of the things to make sure that we have the right tools and the right resources and the right inputs. But then what do we go out on a day-to-day basis and show? For all that God has done, for all the healing, for all of the making a way, for all of the blessing, for all of the benevolence, for all the help, for all of the sharing, for all the loving people, what then do you do with that faith? What then do you do to show that you have character rather than just the credentials? Luke chapter 18, it goes on and says, starting in verse 1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice. And quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You see, to be persistent, to be willing to day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, chase down something, pursue something. See, he brings this lady up. He uses this example because she is commended for having this persistence. See, this isn't born out of lineage and you know, all the right schooling and all the right materials. This is a character issue. A good friend of mine was sharing, he was saying how his name is Lee. Lee said, you can't change your destiny until you first change your character. A lot of times we want to change the direction that we're going in life, or we want to change the way something is working. We want to change something in a relationship, but we're unwilling to deal with our own character. And see, sometimes we look at character and we think of it like, well, the good parts of character, and we look at, like, you know, all the different things we see, and, you know, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, it talks about love and joy and peace and patience, all those things. But we miss some of the harder things, like being persistent, like not giving up. And even if you're still coming to church, even if you're still participating, even if you still say, I believe in God and that there is a God, and we have to ask ourselves, is that belief carried out in our faith? Are we persistent? Have we given up? Not just on God being God, because God being God is fairly obvious to those who understand it, but have we given up on what God can do with us as individuals? Are we still persistent? Are we still determined? Or have we just said, well, I guess he's not going to respond. I guess he's not going to answer that one thing. And you can fill in the blank with whatever that one thing is. But it's important that we understand that that persistence, that determination, that character, all of those values, that it's an issue of faith. It says at the very end here, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? See, when we think of that in a broad sense, yeah, will he find faithful people? But in order to find faithful people, he's got to find people. And in order to find people, it's got to be you. Will he find you to be faithful when he comes back? These are difficult and tough questions, because so often we can focus on many things that are kind of peripheral and they're secondary and they really don't matter as much as us really doing that daily self-examination that says, am I actually living a life that's faithful? And does it show? See, it didn't take much to see that that man who was a Samaritan was sick, because obviously when you have a skin disease, you can only hide it so much. But it also didn't take much to show how faithful he was because of his response to being healed. And for many of us, we have to ask ourselves, do you remember what it was like to be healed? Do you remember what it was like to be made well? Or have you been healed of anything? Have you been made well of anything? What Jesus was trying to tell so many people, his disciples, the Pharisees, and so many others, was that their biggest problem was they thought that it was about what they were doing. They thought it was about their rules and attendance and the laws. And they lost sight of the fact that, no, it's what God is doing in you. It's what God, it's how God is moving inside of you, how he is working in you. It's not just behavior modification. It's not just, I'm going to become a, you know, better person at something. See, I brought up the dog, and I bring it up again because guess what? There's a reason why I had to really count the cost when it came to the dog, because the dog is going to test my character. The dog is going to challenge me to be what? More patient. The dog is going to challenge me to be more kind. The dog is going to challenge me to be more loving. Not just to the dog. The dog is quite lovable. You saw him. He's great. But loving to my children. Loving to my wife. The dog is going to require me to sacrifice and give something. And if we're honest, if we're truly honest with ourselves, when we think about what it means to be faithful, many of us don't put ourselves in faithful situations, as I would call them. We don't put ourselves in situations where we're going to be challenged and required to show who Jesus is. We go the easy way. See, it would have been easy for me to come up with 10,000 reasons, valid reasons, why I shouldn't get a dog. Just like there are dozens of reasons you can probably think of off the top of your head right now why it is that maybe you don't want to spend time with that person, or you don't want to go to that place, or you don't want to have that conversation, or you don't want to volunteer, or you don't want fill in the blank. There's a reason why we avoid those uncomfortable things. And yet, what we see here and what Christ is calling us to is that if you are truly a man or a woman of faith, your character will show. We want the great things, but we want to do it through things that are not necessarily of God. We want to make sure that everything in the church is right. We want to make sure that everything is placed perfect. And then what do we do with it? How are we going to show that? There's a quote by Albert Einstein. Says, it was attributed to him. He says, try not to become a man of success, but rather try to become a man of value. Oftentimes, we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be successful as a Christian? What does it mean to be successful as a husband or a wife or a parent or whatever thing that you're thinking about? What does it mean to be successful? To be successful means that you're faithful and you're relying on Him to get you through. You're relying on God to refine you. See, When the guy comes back to Jesus, that made him well because he placed his faith in the right thing. It would be very easy to place your faith in the fact that, oh my goodness, now my skin is clear. I'm not going to be ostracized from society. People aren't going to be looking at me and making funny faces or making comments or talking behind my back. Now I can be accepted into the mainstream and accepted into the norm. But that's not what you put your faith in. You put your faith in that which made it possible for that to happen. Do we have our faith in the right place? Is our character being challenged and tested? Oftentimes we even think to ourselves, well, I'm going through this hardship. I'm going through this health problem. I'm having to deal with something. Sometimes it's something that's going on currently. Sometimes it's things of the past. You have to forgive. You have to be willing to say, I'm not going to let this thing hold me back. Which means I'm going to have to face it head on. I'm going to have to actually go and deal with whatever that thing is. But it requires character. It requires someone saying, you know what? I'm going to do this because it's the right thing. I'm going to do this because God brought me here. How many times have we looked in the past couple of months where Jesus performs this miracle? He does this miraculous thing. And what was so important was he would always say, this was not done for the reason that you expected. This was done so that people may believe. Your challenge, your struggle, your shortcoming, your problem, that thing that requires you to show character and show faith, the reason why you were homeless or the reason why you struggled to make ends meet or the reason why your marriage was having a problem, the reason why your spouse is sick, whatever, fill in the blank. The reason why it happens is just like with this leper. Because God's trying to increase your faith. It wasn't done just for you. That bad thing or whatever, good thing, didn't just happen just for you. It happened so that you can then help others see it. Help others face it. Help others grow in their faith. What are we doing with all of the things that God has given us over the years? How are we responding? Are we honestly responding like the leper? Or are we responding like the other nine? And so I want to close here. I told you I was sleepy. And the first question I have is, Does your character reflect faith in him or just values you've been taught over the years? I raise that because oftentimes, again, we spend a lot of time wanting to learn and wanting to know and wanting to grab hold of all of these different concepts so that we can have a better understanding of God. But what are you going to do with it? Because faith is action. We say, you show me your faith, what you say, I show you my faith, but what I do. What are you doing with all the amazing ways that God has revealed himself to you? Has your gratitude produced anything tangible? What has resulted from your walk with God? You know, it talks about, you know a tree by its fruit. What is the fruit that has grown? Has that gratitude, because we all say, yeah, we're grateful. We're grateful. Jesus died on the cross. Yes, this is wonderful. What has that gratitude produced in you? We see it with this leper who comes back. We see it in these different examples that we read about with Jesus, but what about us? How has the work that God and the effort and the resources that God has poured into you, what has that done? What has that produced? How persistent are you in your relationship with God? Are you someone that quits when times are challenging, even to the point of blaming or holding a grudge against God? Or do you see the wisdom in his discipline? I added that part at the end about the wisdom in his discipline because it says that he disciplines those he loves. He treats them as sons and daughters. Just like this dog is going to produce discipline. That was the whole purpose and reason in getting the dog. I know it's not probably going to work out that way. But the idea was that the children would grow up and take responsibility, learn to care for something or someone other than themselves. Do we see the challenges that God puts in front of us through faith? Do we see them as opportunities for us to grow? Do we see it as discipline? Do we get mad at him? Are we angry that he hasn't taken something away? Or do we see it through the eyes of faith, which says it's discipline? And finally, will he find faith in you in your life when he returns? Will he find faith? Because the one thing he's definitely going to find when he comes back, especially if he comes back to this country, he's going to find plenty of people who know the scriptures and know the Bible, and they know line and verse. They know a concept. They understand how to apply this thing. He's going to find plenty of knowledgeable people. Why? Because there are plenty of churches. Now, everybody, every church isn't teaching it always great. But see, we qualify things that way, right? Well, my church is teaching the truth. What we say in the Church of Christ, hey, this is our only doctrine is the word of God, right? So we're going to find the truth. He's going to find the doctrine. He's going to find the knowledge and the understanding. But when he comes back, will he find faith in you? What is he going to find in you? I mean, he kind of lived it. Of course, Jesus doesn't need the doctrine. He doesn't need the knowledge. But when he looks at you and he looks at your relationship with others, when he looks at the impact you've had for all of the years of investment, is he going to find faith in you? This is probably the hardest question because it goes back to that character thing, and I thought about it even for myself, in that there are certain areas where I frankly just have not grown. And I can say I'm living by faith in these different ways. My wife and I, we were having one of many conversations, and it wasn't, I wouldn't categorize it as an argument, but it was something, whatever you call it, it was something. And what was so interesting was that she was pointing out that I just frankly, like, the conversation went something like, well, this is kind of how you've always been. I mean, there was a lot more to it in the very beginning of the conversation, but that's kind of how it ended, right? Well, this is kind of how you've always been. And I thought to myself, that's not living by faith. Not that it's not good that I'm consistent, but when you talk about character, when you say, well, this is how I've always been, it doesn't mean that we're ever going to overcome everything, but there is no area of your life, if you have faith and you believe, that you cannot grow and you cannot overcome if you've given it to him. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I living by faith if I'm not changing, if I'm not growing, if I'm not developing? When he says, will you find faith? Finding faith means, have you even committed yourself? Have you even given yourself to God? Have you even decided that this is an endeavor that I'm going to take on? If you have not, this is the time. This is the day to do it. Don't leave out of these doors without knowing what it means to have a real relationship with God, without soliciting and asking for help, without seeking the prayers of the church, and without getting someone who can help you with it. You know, Mark wasn't here last week, so I didn't have anything planned to pick on him, so I'll pick on Harold. And he's sitting right behind him, so it was perfect. But the thing about it is, I really am encouraged, because when I think about persistence, Harold's the first thing I come up with. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Harold's like, I need all the prayers I can get. I need all the help I can get. I need all the growth I can get. Are we persistent enough, and are we even humble enough? Because We want to pray for you, the church. We want to pray for you. We're going to sing our song of invitation here in just a second. But are we willing to be humble enough to come forward and say, I don't know what I need to do. I don't know the answer. I don't know how to get a relationship with God. I don't know how to get right with him. Can you please help me? Can the church help me? You may be sitting there thinking, well, yes, I've had a relationship with God, but I haven't been faithful like I need to. I need the prayers of the church. I need some help. But are we persistent enough, and even more so, are we humble enough to come forward and ask when we have a time like this? Don't wait until you get distracted. Don't wait until you leave here so that you can change your mind. Come forward now so that we can help one another get closer to God, so that we can know what it means to have a relationship with God. Come forward so you can be encouraged. So come forward so we can know what to pray for you and others around you. Come forward and ask God, help me find a relationship with you. Please stand as we sing.